been a while. It's been a few years. I think I've been here maybe 3 times in the past, but not for a while. So I'm just delighted. I'm delighted to be with you. I would like us to take just a moment and send our prayers to Oroville. As you heard, there's a fire there, and I got a text from one of my prayer chaplains this morning, and their house burnt down. So please send your love. I know my heart aches. Please send your love and prayers to everyone over there, and just see them getting through this, and see that fire contained. Let's see that fire contained, and all those firefighters safe, and putting that fire out. We're powerful. We have powerful minds. We're powerful creators. So this morning, I am speaking on the choice for unity and the healing of division. The choice for unity and the healing of division. And unity is something we have a choice. We can make a choice about in every moment. You know, every time we open our mouths to speak, we can think, is this going to create unity or is this going to create separation? Every time we act, we can ask ourselves that question. Every time when we're thinking our thoughts, we can think about, are our thoughts creating unity, or are they creating more of a feeling of separation? Our world, and especially our society, needs us to be full of consciousness right now. We need people that are embodiments of sanity, don't you think? I like that, embodiments of sanity. Let us leave here today and vow to be embodiments of sanity in a world that seems to forget who we really are and forget that love is our deepest truth. We can be embodiments of remembering our humanity. And there's a great need for this. There's a great need for us to be filled with loving kindness and filled with compassion. And it's important that we fill up our stores. You know, our hearts are like a little treasure chest, and we can fill them up. That's what we're doing here this morning, is filling up our store of compassion and loving kindness. Rumi has a beautiful poem. He says, "My soul is a furnace, happy with its fire. Love, too, is a furnace. Ego, its fuel." Isn't that interesting? Love is a furnace, and ego, its fuel. I just love contemplating that, because I really see that when we bow the ego down to the heart, you know, when we bow our minds down to our hearts and let love have its way with us, it burns up the ego, doesn't it? It burns up the ego. It's like, you know, think of the qualities of the ego. You know, they're self-centeredness, selfishness, greed, you know, having to be right, making wrong. All of those things get burned up in the fire of love. And so it is in cultivating love. That's why I have a million love songs. Most of my songs are in one way or another about love. Because it really is, it is this pure unconditional love that burns up the ego and that refines us in the fire and turns us into these beautiful, conscious, shining lights, right? Teacher of mine, he was my first teacher, I was sharing last night, Michael Singer, who wrote The Untethered Soul. Did anybody read The Untethered Soul? Well, Michael Singer I met when I was 15 years old, and he was such an important teacher in my life. And he used to say that this is a third chakra planet, that for the most part, we're kind of stuck. A lot of humanity is exploring this third chakra, which is all about power and control. Does it seem like that? It seems like that to me, and that our evolution is really about moving up to the heart, that fourth chakra, you know, moving, making this little move. It's not very far, really, to go from here to here. And when we make that move, then we're more about, how can I serve? You know, when we're coming from the heart, it's what can I give? How can I be a blessing every day? Instead of what can I get and how can I get more power and control? So it's really making that move that it's our work now. It's our evolutionary journey right now. Another beautiful poem by Rumi. I'm full of Rumi today. I got a new Rumi book, so you're going to hear some Rumi. Another beautiful one, which is really about that surrendering of the ego to the heart, to love. He says, It suits the generous man to give money, but truly the generosity of the lover is to surrender his soul. Surrender his soul. If you give bread, for God's sake, you will be given bread in return. But if you give your life for God's sake, you will be given life in return. We can give ourselves to life, give ourselves to love. I love that song, Give Yourself to Love. It's just a beautiful, beautiful message. Last month I co-facilitated a retreat with Gangaji, a wonderful non-dual teacher, and it was a six-day silent retreat, and I realized how hungry I was for getting away from the busyness and the kind of the dense energies of the world and the news and just being in nature in Lake Tahoe and, you know, no cell reception and just getting in touch with this deeper yearning, this longing for God. And I feel like we can forget our longing for God. I mean, we're so busy getting things done that we can kind of lose touch with that longing. And yet we might feel this unrest and we don't know what it is. And we think it's another relationship or it's another car or it's circumstances. When there's actually this longing in us, the God within us wanting to know itself more fully. That's what it is. And when we get still, we can hear it. That's why I love silent retreats. So we get still and we just, there it is. There's my heart. There's my longing for God. And then when we turn that longing up, we feel that presence. That longing brings that presence. It's so important to feel that. We were talking about the bhakti path. You know, that is really about kind of turning up that longing, how important that longing is. People get dry in their hearts and souls, and I really feel like it is this longing that they are missing and that they want to taste again. The question that we should ask often of ourselves is, what do we really want? Beyond all the worldly stuff, what does our soul want? What does our soul really, what do we want from this life? You know, not just today, but what do we want from this life? You know, there's a way we can open our hearts and we can touch a freedom. We can touch a freedom that never leaves, a boundless love that never leaves us. And that is, that longing takes us home to that. And when we feel presence, you know, we can deal with the problems. You know, life is wonderful and it's awful and it's all of that. And when we feel presence, we have the energy to deal with that. We have the spaciousness to deal with that. When we don't feel presence, we tend to get dry and our minds get really judgmental and harsh and critical. Are you with me? Do you know what I'm saying? I saw an interesting quote the other day. It said, when you criticize someone, you want to walk a mile first in their shoes. That way, when you criticize them, you're a mile away and you have their shoes. Uh-huh. Do you notice when you feel judged or criticized, it's hard to keep your heart open? Have you noticed that? That, you know, harsh judgments really create a feeling of division, and it takes a lot of effort to not take it personally. That's why we have to take good care of ourselves and have that built-up store of compassion for ourselves as well as the people that are suffering. You know, it's a key, and it's really important to not lose the presence of love, especially when someone is reflecting that they are not in touch with love at all. And of course, that's when it's most challenging, but that's when it's most needed. Some people are suffering with anger, and the point to remember is that they're suffering, right? If they're angry and they're blaming and they're judgmental and they're critical, they're suffering. They're not feeling their self, their connection to spirit. So not closing our hearts, but instead cultivating compassion for the fact that they're suffering it's very conscious, and that's our challenge. There's a beautiful quote from the Bhagavad Gita I love. It says, if you want to see the heroic, look at those who can love in return for hatred. Wow, that's a tall order. If you want to see the brave, look at those who can forgive. Every day, forgive and let go. That's why I love that song, because our daily life requires so much letting go, doesn't it? I mean, if we want to be at peace, we have to become masters at letting go. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't have healthy boundaries. You know, we do have healthy boundaries. Very important to have healthy boundaries. And sometimes we need to choose not to expose ourselves to certain energy fields. And that's using our discernment. But there's a way to do that, to take good care of ourselves and not close our hearts. We can choose to not be around someone and yet keep our heart open to them and keep holding them in prayer, right? So, love, the choice for love. The choice for love is what brings a feeling of unity, and we get to choose it again and again many times a day. I looked up unity in Webster's Dictionary, and it said, the state or quality of being one or united into a whole. United into a whole. What is it to feel unity with God? I want to hear. I want to hear from you. When you feel connected to Spirit, what does that feel like? Joy. Peace. Gentle. Yeah. What? Loving. Acceptance. Yes. What else? Validation. Surrender. I was waiting for you to say that. But just feel that energy in here. See, that's already shifting because you're taking a moment to make that connection and feel that. That gentleness, that surrender. To me, it is a real surrender to love. It is really giving ourselves to something greater and trusting that something greater to live our life. I have a song, Who Lights the Stars? Who Shines the Sun? To this one I give my life until my days are done. To this one I give my heart till we merge as one. Till we merge as one. Ah, to be merged in that. Rumi says, knock and he'll open the door. Vanish and he'll make you shine like the sun. Fall and he'll raise you to the heavens. Become nothing and he'll turn you into everything. When the door is open and we feel union with God, he says, the world is too full to talk about. Just feel that for a moment. That feeling when the world is too full and too beautiful to talk about, you're speechless with wonder. That's union. That's union with God. Everything's infused with consciousness. Life is radiant. And it can be like that. We can be connected. We can stay connected. So the most important point that I want to make today is that we always have a choice. We always have a choice to choose to move more towards unity or more towards division. Every single moment, we're making a choice to be somewhere in that spectrum. So I'd like to suggest a spiritual practice for this week. And that is that before you speak, before you act, and as you're thinking your thoughts, be mindful and ask yourself, is this going to create more unity? Is this going to create a feeling of connectedness and harmony? Or is this going to create a feeling of more division or separation? And really consider your intention, what you want to be about, you know? As we say we want to be an instrument of peace, but is that only on Sunday, right? So I want to just take a moment and look at what creates division in our world. It's important to see it. It's important to see it. So you tell me, in your relationships, what creates division? Anger, yes. Judgment. Criticism. What else? What? Fear. Good. Yes. What is it? Yes. Broken expectations. What else? Blame. Very good one. Very good. What's that? Greed. Yes. That is it. The energies of anger and judgmentalness and intolerance and greed, not giving someone a chance, that is the recipe, the perfect recipe for division. And it's easy to prejudge someone. It's easy to prejudge someone and have a perception that's negative and hold on to that for dear life. So that powerful teaching from Jesus from Matthew says, judge not lest ye be judged. So it's so important to look at how we're judging. And I want to just take a moment to look at perception, because perception has everything to do with judgment, doesn't it? How we're perceiving. If we cultivate a judgmental and critical mind, our perceptions are often harsh, right? And unkind. If we cultivate an open heart and, you know, kindness, our perceptions are seen through the eyes of compassion. In The Course in Miracles, there's a great quote on perceptions. They talk a lot about perceptions. They say that perceptions are a choice we make, and we'll always find what we're looking for. We can build a case against someone, or we can choose to see their essential innocence and fundamental worth, even past their difficult qualities and unskillful ego-based actions. That's the challenge, to see past the unskillful ego-based actions. And that's why we need to have a store of compassion that we keep filling up in our hearts. But I want to share with you a story I heard at Unity of Houston like 20 years ago, and I love this story. I've never forgotten it. And it's really about perception and how sometimes we can misperceive, right? Our perceptions could actually be wrong. Imagine that. It's in prose form, so it goes like this. It's about a cookie thief. At an airport one night, with several long hours before her flight, she hunted for a book in an airport shop, bought a bag of cookies, and found a place to drop. She was engrossed in her book, but happened to see that the man sitting beside her, as bold as he could be, grabbed a cookie or two from the bag in between, which she tried to ignore to avoid a scene. She munched the cookies and watched the clock as the gutsy cookie thief diminished her stock. She was getting more irritated as the minutes ticked by, thinking, if I wasn't so nice, I would blacken his eye. With each cookie she took, he took one too. When only one was left, she wondered what he would do. With a smile on his face and a nervous laugh, he took the last cookie and broke it in half. He offered her half and he ate the other. She snatched it from him and thought, oh, brother, this guy has some nerve and he's also rude. Why, he hasn't even shown any gratitude. She'd never known when she'd been so galled, and sighed with relief when her flight was called. She gathered her belongings and headed to the gate, refusing to look back at the thieving ingrate. She boarded the plane and sank in her seat. Then she sought her book, which was almost complete. She reached in her baggage and gasped with surprise. There was her bag of cookies before her eyes. If mine are here, she moaned in despair, the others were his and he tried to share. Too late to apologize. She realized with grief that she was the rude one, the ingrate, the thief. How many times have we been absolutely sure that something was a certain way, only to realize later we were wrong? It's so humbling, isn't it? We don't really want to tell anybody. But like the Course in Miracles says, we find what we're looking for. You know, if we're looking for someone who's guilty, we'll see it, right? And if we're looking for someone who's generous and kind, we'll see that too. So the last spiritual practice I want you to consider is, I want you to take, when you get home, take out your crayons and a big piece of paper or your magic markers and write in big letters, are you sure? And tape it to your office wall, okay, or somewhere where you're going to see it often, your refrigerator. Are you sure? It's very, very good for you, for the mind to stay open and consider you could be wrong. And it keeps our hearts open. So in closing, three things that help us move towards unity and heal division. And the first one being, notice multiple times a day when you're about to speak, act, or when you're thinking, what is my intention here? What is my intention? You know, is it to create unity or is it going to create division? The second one, notice if your perceptions are building a case against someone or seeing their essential innocence. There is essential goodness in everyone. You know, sometimes it's really clouded over, but it's there, okay? See if you can remember that. And lastly, meditate on the question, what do I really want? What do I really want from this precious human life, the gift of this precious human birth? It's such a gift. You know, is it that I want circumstances to be a certain way? I want to try to line everything up just so and get all my desires met? Or is it a freedom? A freedom and a union with God that if you have, circumstances can be what they will. They can change. They can come and go. You can even lose your house in a fire. And you can still find the place in you that's free, that's with God, that's at peace, that knows your true home. Okay? So I want to end with a beautiful quote from the Christian mystic Thomas Merton. To say that I am made in the image of God is to say that love is the reason for my existence. For God is love. Love is my true identity. Love is my true character. Love is my name. Thank you. God bless you. I like this, getting to use the whole stage. Would you turn up the treble on my vocal mic just a little bit? Not trouble, treble. So I have the perfect song. It's another song about love that really goes with that, especially that last quote. It's a song I wrote when I was really contemplating, why am I here? You know, what is the purpose of this day? What is the purpose of my life? What is my intention, my deepest intention? And this is called Love is the Reason. A smile that tells me I'm accepted in your gaze. A word of kindness, and we don't need to be afraid. Love is here this morning. I can see it in your face. Love is in the way the songbirds greet this brand new day. And I pray love will use me in the most beautiful of ways. Oh, love is the reason I am here. Oh, love is the reason I am here. Love here to melt away the doubt and fear, the sorrow and tears, and bring us healing. Is here this morning. I can see it in your face. Love is what has brought us to this very sacred place. And I pray love will use us in the most beautiful of ways. Oh, love is the reason we are here. Is the reason we are here. It's love. Love is the reason we are here. Thank you. Thank you so much.